Hey, let me talk to you for a few minutes about the attitude of leadership. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 35. I want to talk to you about the attitude of leadership. Verse 35, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him." Mark chapter 10, verse 35. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do us a favor.'" How many know that's a loaded question when you don't tell Jesus what the favor is? Because they know Jesus can probably grant just about any favor out there. And so these guys come to Jesus. Just give you a little background on James and John. These were the same disciples that wanted to call fire down on the village that didn't pay them respect. These guys are kind of rough around the edges. These two guys, they're probably like, when you're going up, they're probably like the neighborhood bullies. You know what I'm saying? They're roughing people up. They're wanting to call fire down on heaven. You know, they're kind of coming and crowding in on Jesus and just kind of throwing out there, "Hey, we want you to do us a favor." And, you know, not really telling them what it is. Well, you're about to see why. Verse 36, Jesus says, "What is your request?" Verse 37, they replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on the right and the other on the left." Is this hilarious? In other words, "Jesus, we want you to do a favor, just a small favor. Just want to ask you one little thing. Just one little thing. Could you do this? Just do this, just a little favor. When you're on your glorious throne, reigning in all of your lordship over all the universe, all we ask is we can sit right by you. Forget all the other billions of people. If we could just sit right by you, one of us on your right, one of us on your left, you in the middle. And we just want to be right there, you know, with you, just reigning and ruling and all the glory and power. You know, when everybody looks at you on your throne, they're going to see, you know, you won't be hanging with the right people, Jesus." You know what I'm saying? So in other words, what James and John are asking for is that they're asking for a position of leadership. They're asking for a position of rule. They're asking to be leaders in Jesus' kingdom. They're asking for leadership. They're aspiring to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And Jesus' reply, he has a very powerful reply. And in this reply, he really teaches us the three crucial principles of the attitude of leadership in the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on and said, Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," they replied. "We are able." I mean, they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus told them, he says, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, and you will be baptized with the baptism of my suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places," speaking of his Father, "for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Wow. Jesus, in this answer to James and John, as they're aspiring to leadership, as they're wanting to be leaders in the kingdom of God, as they're wanting to be leaders in the church, Jesus answers their question about the attitude of leadership and what it takes leadership, and he basically links kingdom leadership to three crucial principles. And I want to give you those three principles, and if you can accept these, if you can ground these in your heart, if you can understand this, I'm telling you, it will really uncomplicate a whole lot about your life, about your role in God's kingdom, about your role in the church. This is really what Jesus is doing. He's going to uncomplicate things for James and John here on this subject of leadership. The first thing that he says is this. They say, hey, we want to be leaders in your kingdom. The very first thing that Jesus links leadership to is suffering. He connects leadership with paying a price. He connects leadership, guess what? With pain. He connects leadership with suffering. That's why we answer him. He says, God, look, you're talking about, look, here's what Jesus says. You guys are looking at this. You guys are looking at, oh, you know, when this is all said and done and on this glorious throne, let me tell you where rubber hits the road. When we're talking about rubber hits the road, kingdom leadership, you better get ready to suffer and you better understand there is a price to pay. That's why Jesus told his followers, he said, look, and he's speaking to a level of leadership here, his disciples, he said, look, through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. And gang, if we're ever going to do anything significant for God, we've got to understand there's a price to pay. You know, commitment is inconvenience. Those things are synonymous. And when we talk about serving and we're talking about aspiring to leadership, we need to understand that there is a price to pay, man. And I want to thank all of you who've taken up your towel and who are serving and who are out there paying a price. And we know that things are inconvenient. You know, I was in lead sync tonight with several of our leaders that are leading groups and serving on teams and all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, when you hear their testimonies, and it's just like, wow, they're paying such a price. But you hear all the great testimonies and all the blessings of God that are coming to their life because of their serving. And there is a reward. There is a reward on this earth. Jesus said, look, those who have left father, brother, sisters, homes, he's just painting a picture here of sacrifice. He's painting a picture of paying a price. He says, look, whatever price you pay, I want to let you know that there is a reward in this life and in the life to come. In fact, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will certainly not lose your reward. But we need to understand that the first thing about kingdom leadership and leading in God's church, guess what? If you want to lead, understand that there is a cost, there is a price to pay, things are going to be inconvenient, things are going to be messy at times, and the first thing Jesus does is connect leading in his kingdom to suffering. You don't see a lot of those bumper stickers on cars, do you? You can just cut that one out right now. Just put that on your bumper sticker, you know, on your bumper. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering? Sign up for parking ministry today. Then the second thing he does, he teaches them that there's a price to pay for leadership. The second thing he does is he teaches them a lesson on authority. He says, look, you guys are asking for these places of leadership. He says, I want to let you know that in fact, this is not even mine to give. He says, but it's only my Father. My Father is the one that gives those places. In other words, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, look, James and John, even I, the Son of God, God in the flesh, even I am under authority. I'm over authority, but I'm also under authority. And until you learn to be under authority to the point of not even offering your opinion over things that you don't have authority over, you're not going to flourish as leaders in the kingdom of God. Jesus is showing them an example right now. He says, look, even I, the Son, how many of you know if anybody had a right to give their opinion, I think it would be Jesus. But Jesus says, look, even I am under my Father's authority, and my Father has not delegated that to me. He has not given me the right to determine who should be on my left and who should be on my right. That's his to decide. In other words, Jesus is telling these guys, look, I'm under authority, and my authority that I have on this earth is only delegated to the degree that I'm under my Father's authority. And you will never, we can never flourish as leaders unless we understand there's a price to pay and unless we understand this principle of being under spiritual authority. You will never flourish being over someone until you learn how to flourish being under someone. We don't like these messages. We want the Sunday morning Gucci Goo messages. But if you've noticed, I've even cut a lot of those out lately. Listen, man, I'm trying to help you. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, until you learn to operate under authority, even to the point of, you know, couldn't Jesus, well, you figured Jesus could at least do this. Jesus could at least say, hey, look, that's my Father's, I'm under authority, that's my Father's to give, but you know, I'll put in a good word. You know, or kind of tell him something like, yeah, you know, that's the Father's to decide, and you know, guys, you know, he's kind of strict. You know, if it was up to me, definitely I'd let you guys come right up here. But you know the Father, he's kind of, you know, fire, you know, judgment, white throne judgment, all that. He's kind of, you know. Isn't that how we do sometimes, though, with our authority? Even though we're supposed to be under, and the example that Jesus gave, the attitude of kingdom leadership, even though we should say, hey, I'm sorry, that's not mine. And instead of pointing people upward with respect, and honor, and honoring our authorities, what do? We posit, well, you know how he is. You know how she is. You know, just let, you know, I'll take care of it. That's not kingdom leadership. Man might promote you, but God will never promote you with that attitude. God does not promote if we're not willing to pay a price. God does not promote if we don't understand authority and how it works. So he links it to paying a price. He links it to this principle of authority that, look, you're asking to be over authority, but before you even thinking about being over authority, you got to follow my example of being under authority. And then he goes on, he makes this powerful statement in verse 42 when he says, you know, that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. This is so powerful. For even the Son of Man came. Everybody say came. See, Jesus right here, he goes on to say, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is doing here, as he's using this language, he says, even I, the Son of Man, came. What he's doing is, he is attaching his identity to something. This is very powerful because Jesus is revealing to James and John how he views himself. He's revealing to James and John how he sees, this is, whoa, how the Son of God relates to himself. In other words, the mental picture, the identity that Jesus has of himself is not one of a leader, but a servant. In other words, that James and John, look, you're talking about the glorious throne and all that stuff, and all that stuff's going to be fantastic, but look, your identity can't be as a leader. Your identity has to be a servant. Even I, the Son of Man, the Son of God, even I came, my identity is a servant, not to have others serve me, but to serve others and then to prove the ultimate level of servanthood by giving my life as a ransom for many. In other words, James and John, to be leaders in the kingdom of God, you cannot see yourself as a leader who serves, but as a servant that has been given opportunities to lead. Big difference. Big difference. If you're aspiring to do something for God, if you're aspiring in the kingdom of God, do you see yourself as a leader who serves? Or do we see ourselves like Jesus sees himself, as a servant who's been given opportunities to lead? Big difference. You know why? Because if you see yourself As a leader who serves, guess what? You're only going to serve those things that you think are, you know, a good fit for you, convenient for you, that are kind of up to your, you know, level of whatever. But if you see yourself as a servant who's been given opportunities to lead, guess what? Nothing's below you. Nothing is beneath you. You just look at yourself as, man, I'm here to serve God. I'm here to give God. I'm here to express my love back to you through servanthood, God. And I'm thankful for any opportunity that you have given me to have influence in any way, shape, or form, or advance the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form. But if we see ourselves, okay, I'm a leader. Do you see the difference? The identity. Oh, I'm a leader. And I, of course I serve. See, even the world does that. The world teaches that leaders should, you know, serve. They also, but it's a different attitude. The kingdom of God teaches that we're servants with opportunities to lead. If you see yourself as a leader who serves, like I'm saying, some things will be beneath you, some things won't be in your gift mix. You know, last time I read Romans 12, I didn't see anything about the spiritual gift of washing mud off of people's feet. Have you ever read that in Romans chapter 12? I've never seen that. I've never seen a spiritual gift of foot washing. I've never seen the spiritual gift. You know, some of you, just some of you, have the spiritual gift to wash feet. No, you know what? Jesus, John chapter 13, on the night he was betrayed, demonstrated his disciples the ultimate act of a heart of a servant when what? He gathered them around. He says, guys, and he washes all of their feet, including Judas, who he knew would betray him. You know why? Because we serve others, not because they deserve it. We serve others for God. We serve others because of the love that Jesus had for us. We lead in the kingdom of God because we think it is the highest honor, it is the highest privilege to be given an opportunity by the King, the Lord and Savior of the universe, as a vessel for God to pour His mission, to pour His purposes through. Wow, we could all see ourselves as vessels for whom God could pour His purpose through, who God could accomplish His mission through. That's what we're here for. That's what Jesus was saying, man, when he washed feet. You know what he did? That was the lowest, you can study that. That was the lowest form of servanthood. That would be like equivalent in our culture of maybe, you know, you somehow got a job of being in the nursery and just dealing with all the poo-poo diapers. I see we got some nursery workers in here tonight. But you know what Jesus was saying? When he was kneeling down, can you imagine? Can you imagine when Jesus was kneeling down and he was washing the feet of Judas with the same love, the same compassion as all the rest of the disciples, knowing that he would betray him? Our Lord and Savior saw himself as a servant. And that's why when he finished washing their feet, that's why Peter, you know who saw themselves as a leader who serves? Peter. And James and John to this point. But it all, Peter was offended. He washed the feet of the disciples. Peter was offended. He said, man, this is wrong, Jesus. You should not be doing this. Jesus, you should not have to stoop to this level of servanthood. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me. Not no part of me, no part with me. In other words, Jesus was saying, and then he went on to say, he said, one day you'll understand this. You know, then Peter's comment was like, well, man, wash my feet, wash my, you know, I want a whole bath. Is there a tub around? Is there like a shower somewhere? You know, if I'm not going to have any part with, you know, let's wash. But what Jesus was telling Peter was, is that Peter, if you're going to be with me in kingdom leadership, you're going to have this attitude. And one day, Peter, you'll understand it's not about being a leader who serves. It's about being a servant who's been given opportunities to lead. And if you can understand that that is our calling, guess what? We all have one foundational call. Guess what? I'm called to be a pastor, but you know what? Before pastor, I'm called to be a servant who's been given opportunities to lead. Every single one of us, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a school teacher, no matter where you are, who you are, we have all been called as servants to servants whom by the grace of God, maybe God might give us an opportunity to lead, to fulfill his mission through. Can I have a good amen to that? This will really help uncomplicate your life. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.